Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Farming philanthropist whose specialty is Scuds.
Yeah, that's flattering. Thank you for that.
KNBR 104.5 and 680 presents Scuds and Suds. Jeremy Appelt with Tolbert and Coates on the Sports Leader.
Copes is in Vegas, probably enjoying a cocktail, probably a few by now, I would think. FP Santangelo is in his stead. Jeremy Affeld, who joins us once a week, talk a little beer, a little baseball, find out what he has going on here in just 1 second. What's going on, Jeremy?
Hey, nothing much. How are you?
We are fantastic. Are you driving somewhere?
I am. Sorry. I'm a freaking Uber driver now.
It did stop.
So I am. I'm a kid Uber driver.
Okay.
Like, I got three kids in three different schools. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, so I'm like, I was just running a hair behind. So I'm like,
oh, no worries. Crap.
Well, yeah. No. Well, the good thing is I can't drop a beer while we talk.
Well, no, you better not drop a beer.
I was like, hey, what'd you drop? Well, I kind of hit a bump and my beer spilled all over while I was driving.
Yeah, that would not be great. And is your son, I know we talked a few years ago, he might not, is he still playing football?
Does he what?
Is he still playing football?
Oh, yeah, man. He is left tackle, man. This kid's 6'5", 235, just wailing on people as a freshman. Yeah, he's doing great.
What's he doing? What's he doing Monday night? The Niners need one.
Yeah, we might need a blindside to take care of that situation over there. No, yeah, no, he's doing great, man. Right now I'm the dad holding him back because, you know, he's a freshman playing on JV and he thinks he should be freaking playing D1 football. I'm like, son. You're 15. You got time. You're fine. He's like, I was like, I don't think you quite understand yet. And I called my dad and I was like, Dad, did I ever like push you on sports? Like I should be on varsity. And he just sat there and he's like, I feel zero pain for your situation right now. Zero. Good luck with it. Like, I was like, oh, so I did do that. He's like, I'm not even going to get into it. I'm just saying, I don't feel bad for you. I'm like, okay.
Hey, do you think it's better for you and your son that he plays a sport that you didn't play? And by that, I mean, you know, sometimes you play a sport that your son plays a sport you play, and it's always like, hey, you should try to do this. You should look at doing this, or maybe you're doing this wrong, or maybe you're doing that wrong. And sometimes I think instead of being a dad, you end up being a coach, and it's best sometimes just to be a dad and not always try to be the coach. But it's tough when you've played at the highest level. It's tough not to want to help out with a little advice, even though they might not be looking at it the same way. I'm wondering if, because it's football, you don't have as much knowledge as you do in baseball, that maybe it's better for you if they can just be a dad and watch.
And no, I 100% think it is. So I work on the mental side with him because I don't think mentally it's any different.
Yeah.
So the kids or the players, the professional athletes that are locked down mentally, they're all going to approach sport the same way and they're all going to be better because of it. So I just approach the mental competition or the mental view of a competitive player. And so I handle that with him. I don't do any, I'm learning from like, what does this mean? What kind of tackle is that? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. So, and he actually says, I actually like it that I get to help tell you what's going on. I'm like, because a dad who played football, touched the NFL for a little bit, kids on the team got thrown out of the game the other day, yelling at referees on the sideline, running down the side, yelling at referees. And he's a dad, he's not even a coach. I don't even know how he got down there. Like, he's just yelling. And I'm like, that's embarrassing me. know, like, I'm not going to do this. And so, like, but because I don't even have the ability to do that, I don't even get into it. I had to do the scoreboard the other day, and I literally, if it wasn't a high school, I probably would have freaking brought a few beers up there. Like, because I was mentally, I'm like, I watch these scorekeepers, these volunteers, parents are yelling, stop the clock, why are you running the clock, wrong down. I mean, they're just yelling at me. I'm like, and the sign-up genius has not one dad or mom signing up to do the scoreboard. I'm like, huh, that's weird. And my fiance is like, you ought to sign up for that. I'm like, yeah, it's weird. I don't say why. That's great. So I signed up for a few of them. And now I'm like, oh, yeah. Now I know why it's empty spots on the scorekeeper sign-up sheet. I got yelled at by like six dads team. And finally, I reached over and I leaned out to the score box and I said, hey, just so y'all know, the scoreboard operator is strictly voluntary here right now to take for the much appreciated. Doors open. Doors open. Okay. Come on up.
Feel free.
Over. And the parents started laughing and they're like, where would you go? Free roam. I'll get my own beer. I'm a double up. So if anybody wants to come on up, we're fine. And it was, and after that, not one person turned around and like said anything to me. I mean, nothing. I mean, it was like, I was like, listen, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't even remember how to hit the down button. Like, I'm trying to figure this whole board thing out. And I'm like, I don't know. It's tough. And then, and I'm trying to watch Walker. So technically I'm like forgetting stuff because I'm watching him in a play. And I mean, it's a mess, me trying to do stuff right now. Like, it's, I'm telling you, I had more anxiety doing that than pitching game seven. I'm not lying. Like, I had anxiety, man. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm freaking out. I'm sweating. Like, it's hot. Like, you know, the coach came up and was like, hey, Jeremy. Yes, sir. Hey, this isn't we don't want a 5-hour baseball game. I'm like, what are you talking about? You don't stop the clock after every single play. Oh, you don't? No. Keep the thing running. Oh, stop. And the referee says stop or rolls his hand again. I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't know that. I mean, I literally stopped after every single play. The clock stopped. And the referee had to look at the head coach like, why is the scorekeeper stopping the clock after every play? And the head coach literally walked through the stands and come like, treating like a little kid. Sucks. I quit.
Well, you really don't watch much football, do you?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, oh yeah, maybe that is why I like the 2-minute warning. And yeah, yep. I'm learning now, so I actually pay attention now. Now I'm kind of like, I need to learn from this because I'm just not it. I'm like, man, I mean, I get yelled at the kids' basketball games on YMCA when I do the score. I don't like doing it. Like, I'd rather just sit up there and yell at their game for stopping the clock.
That was the toughest adjustment I had to make after I was done playing, is listening to the parents scream and yell. And I would just walk down the line and stand out in center field and watch baseball games because I couldn't deal with it. So I know what you're going through right now. Yeah. But when you talk about the mental side, I mean, I think that's awesome that you're teaching your son that at such a young age. What's your main message to him? What's the number one key from the mental side of sports that you're trying to implement with his game?
Man, controllables and uncontrollables. That is a huge thing for me because it's the one thing that's consistent. You can't, I mean, FP, you can't, you couldn't control whether that umpire called a strike or a ball on you. It ain't your call, right?
Right.
Like, you can yell at the umpire. We all do it, but it's not one umpire in the history of baseball got yelled at and was like, oh, you're right, I'm going to switch. Like, it didn't happen. So the guys for me that maybe could talk to an umpire and be like, hey, where did you have that? Well, I had it like 2 inches off, or I had it, or hey, man, I had it up, or I had it on this plate. And you talk to them through a mentally strong approach of like, I'm not trying to control the count. I'm just trying to understand what you were thinking so that I can adjust to you. And if you come at an umpire or a referee that way, things get changed. A lot of times you manipulate the strike zone through that. You know, you do. And for me, it's the same as football. Hey, man, you can't control whether that referee saw a hold or didn't see a hold. You can't control whether the guy next to you put the block on the right way, if he pushed the guy to the left or the right when you were pushed. You can only control what you have to do. So you focus on that, and you don't ever control anything else, and be 100% committed to what you are convicted to do on that play. Everything else is out of your control. And if you can do that, you're going to be just fine. And stay focused on your controllables. When we start focusing more on the uncontrollables, what the referee's doing or what the other team's doing or my players, you get so distracted you forget to do your job. And that's how I pitched. I got frustrated sometimes on the shift because I hate the freaking shift. So I got mad when I got beat on the shift. But in the end, I can't necessarily control where the guy hit the ball. Did I make my pitch or did I not make my pitch? And that's how I kind of kept focused on what I did for my job. And then if I got beat, if I made the pitch, if I put the ball in the black outside corner and the guy went with it and backspun it right and it was a homer, I can sleep at night. It was a good pitch. He just beat me. Like, it's part of baseball. So that's kind of how I learned to just cope with it, because I knew 90% of the time, if I do my job and hit that and make that pitch, I'm going to get an out. I will get beat, blooper over first. That becomes a double, whatever. But I did my job. And so that's how I try to view it. And that's how I try to teach my son, is focus on the controllable and the uncontrollable, and you're going to be just fine.
That's good stuff.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
When you're, especially when you won a World Series like you have, when you're out of the chase, you've been eliminated. How tough is that? How do you get yourself geared up to play the rest of the season? And how much do you learn about your teammates in those handful of games, 2 weeks, whatever, that you are coming to the ballpark and you don't have a chance to go to the postseason?
So you'll learn a lot about the contracted teammates versus the uncontracted teammates. Mm-hmm. So when I was with the Royals, I was planning my fly fishing trip on October 2nd back in like May. Because you're like, dude, we ain't going to make it. So I'm booking my fly fishing trip. But I didn't have a contract. So you had to stay focused on doing your job because, hey, I'm actually playing to win, and I got to do my job and do it well because I have to actually keep my stock up, right? Like, mm-hmm. that, I have to prove that I want to be here. And just because we're out, I still have to go out there and give it my best and compete and try to win because I got to prove that I want to win at this level. The contracted guys, you'll see, well, I don't really care what my numbers are. We're out of it, and I got a freaking 7 mil or 12 mil coming next year, so whatever. You know, like, I'm good, and we'll just start next year, and we'll try to win next year. So what I looked at was I appreciated the veterans that, you know, Mike Sweeney, that we lost 100 freaking games, and the guy almost won the Triple Crown, and it came the last day between him and Manny Ramirez, right? I appreciated a guy like that that didn't care that he was under contract. He still wanted to be the best. I care about the closer that's like, I'm still going to try to get 40 saves, or I'm a starter that says I'm still trying to get 200 innings here, or I'm a hitter that I'm still going to try to get some RBIs. Like, I'm going to try to, if we're going down, we're taking someone else down, because if we're taking last, fine, but the third place team is not going to the playoffs either. We're both going home at the same time, so let's try to ruin somebody's day here. Like, take everybody with you, and that's kind of how I – looked at it, and what I saw was the guys that just flat out didn't care, and those are the guys I lost. You figured out real quick where they stand, and it's a very frustrating thing when you got teammates that do that.
Did you ever have a game? We know about the World Series wins and the victories. Did you ever have a game on any team at the end of the season that's memorable because you knocked somebody out of the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, I had, see, who were we playing? We were playing, Man, I don't really know. I think that the Royals, we were so bad we couldn't knock anybody out of the playoffs if we wanted to. I think that, you know what it was for me that felt really good was when I think it was 2012? I think it was 2012 with the Dodgers. We knocked them out. We kept them from – we won the division, and we had to beat – I remember it was we had won the division, but it was a knockdown drag out fight with those guys because the reason we kept competitive was because we were trying to figure out how to keep them from getting in. And they were kind of, we had to eliminate them. I'm pretty sure 2012, we eliminated them. And so like, it was kind of one of those deals where we needed to keep them from something. And I just remember we had to play, and it felt so good to be the team to do it, you know? But it also kept you competitive. But I don't remember sometimes I just didn't remember. Honestly, losing sucks so bad that, you know, when you're like, I don't know if we eliminated somebody or not. I don't think we did, but maybe we did.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of Cincinnati. We were kind of the same way. I think we were kind of in a situation we were trying to take Milwaukee a little bit down a notch, but we were trying that. But my biggest memories were just always like Colorado. We had to come down to that one game with San Diego in the playoffs.
Yep.
2010 with San Diego, one game. We had a lot of that. We had a lot of that going on, and I remember those kind of things, but I don't remember as much with the Royals, literally. I mean, I'm not lying. I was so young and I had to play year to year. I was just trying to figure out how to prove I could stay there to try to get somewhere else.
Has McClellan still called Holiday safe or out?
Yeah, right. Yeah, the problem is Holiday can't even call him safe or out. He wasn't even like aware. You know, the guy passed out at the plate. So, you know, but I think that was the greatest. Man, the people are like still saying it's like iffy. I tell you what, I was surprised because he was so calm when he called it and then just rolled out. But I was surprised because it was Hoffman that he was going to blow the save on by calling him safe. That was what I was surprised, just because he was who was on the mound. That's still just a amazing deal there. We were out of pitching, so I knew that. I knew we were screwed because we were out of pitching right there, and I think they were pretty much out too. So it was going to be a weird scenario if it went past that inning.
Jeremy, talk about the other side of that coin in September, coming to the yard every day, playing for something, and you know, down the stretch, you're in a pennant race, you're thinking about October baseball. I mean, those are the fondest memories I have, is driving to the yard with maybe the same tune in your car, waking up in the morning with that anticipation of it's going to be a full house tonight, it's a big game, you're watching the scoreboard during the middle of the game, the guys in the clubhouse are just in tune to everything. Talk about that side of the coin in September, maybe early October.
You know what? I feel like those were some of my biggest memories. I feel that when I was in those times, those were the most competitive moments. Those were the most that extra level of competitive aggression came, and you felt like teams that you were competing against stepped up and kind of wanted to try to eliminate you. You felt that side of the coin, right? They're trying their best to not let you win. And so it was such a, for me, when we played, when we were in the playoffs, other than 2012, I actually liked 2010 and 2014 better because we had to compete the whole month. In 2012, we won with 2 weeks left. It was actually, you almost kind of, you lost momentum. It was almost like that's why we almost lost in the playoffs. You don't compete as much because you're resting guys. And you're like, you don't want to hurt anybody, so you don't want to overpitch some guys or, you know, stuff like that. So I appreciated the 10 and 14 because that playoff atmosphere was the whole month of September running into the actual playoff atmosphere. So I so loved that, and I think the two things I miss about not playing is the camaraderie is number one. I think that would be a pretty consistent across the board for almost every player.
Yep.
But the playoff adrenaline and competitiveness, you cannot match that. You can't prepare for it. You can't practice for it. You cannot match it. But it was my favorite feeling of playing baseball. And if you could be a subcontractor and be like, you know, just contract me to come back in September to kind of get it going again and then go play the playoffs, that's probably what I'd sign up for. I love that.
Yeah, I think if you asked ex-ball players what they miss most, I think two of the top three would be the camaraderie with their teammates and per diem.
Per diem would be good, too.
Per diem's incredible. Yeah. I remember when I was a rookie, the guys on the team get their per diem in their envelope, and they're like, yeah, I got my per diem. Like, dude, how much money do you make per diem? And they always told me, and I found this hilarious. They'd go, yeah, but this money's mine.
Yeah, the cash, man. Everybody's like, you kept the cash. And when I was young, I would be like, dude, what are you guys keeping the cash for? It's awesome. I could go eat steak and all that stuff. And the player's like, oh, you'll see. And then all of a sudden, my end of my career, I'm like, I just kept all that cash in my travel bag. I was like, nah, I'm just keeping it. I need off-season money, man. I need to go on a hunt. Or I need to
hilarious.
And yeah.
I think it's the last... That's the last time I carried cash, I think.
Yeah. And you knew the veteran wives, too, because then the players just kept it in their lockers. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to go in my travel bag. They're going to find it. And they're going to go get purses or whatever. You know, it's pretty hard.
I don't have to share this. It's all mine.
Monopoly money.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious. Anything going on with
every ball player now has to keep their money in the locker.
Exactly. Anything with Generation Alive or Free Roam you would like to throw out there?
Man, you know, GA's doing their thing. They're in their school stuff. So we've got just that consistency. Yep. But Free Roam, man, we've got, like, I'm about to walk into about 70 kids. We sponsor a bass club.
Oh, sweet.
So I get to go talk to these kids. And we got Oktoberfest coming up on the 8th. Super pumped for
you. Making a a Martzen?
We made like an Oktoberfest beer. Almost like a fest. So he went in more just kind of traditional.
Okay,
I actually wanted that beer, that Martzen beer, but he actually, his Oktoberfest beer just won number one beer at the last Bernie Festival.
Really,
and number one Women's Choice beer too.
Wow.
So, we're hitting it, and we got 5 beers here in the Great American Beer Festival next week. That's up for whole possible awards, so we're excited. So we're rocking and rolling, getting ready for Q4 is going to be our busiest time. So we got music and all kinds of stuff going on. So it's going to be great.
That's awesome. Well, good luck in the Great American Beer Fest. One of these days, I'm going to hit that. It just seems like a really cool time. Great breweries from around the country. So best of luck there. Hope you do great there, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon, Jeremy Affeld.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jeremy. Appreciate it, man. Always fun catching up with you, man.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.